Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Bharat Wire Ropes Limited Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Ventura Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Tushar from Ventura Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Tushar.
Thank you. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Ventura Securities Limited, I welcome you all to Bharat Wire Ropes Limited Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call. The company is today represented by Mr. Murarilal Mittal, Managing Director, Mr. Mayank Mittal, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Sushil Sharda, Director and Head of Finance. I would now like to hand over the call to Managing Director of the company, Mr. Murarilal Mittal, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Tushar, and Ventura Securities for hosting this call. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks you for joining us today for the earnings call of Q2 and H1 24. Just an introduction to the company: we are today one of the leading manufacturers of specialty wire ropes, slings, wire strands, and other thousands of varieties of products and SKUs. Our products meet the functional needs of the various industrial applications such as general engineering, aviation, fishing, elevators, cranes, material handling, onshore and offshore, oil explorations, ports, shipping, and mining. I would like to extend a warm welcome to all of you as gathered here today to discuss and reflect our company's recent performance and results. These years are the testament of our dedication and resilience of our team, each of us challenging market conditions. Our unwavering commitment to excellence and innovations continues to drive us forward. I would now request Mr. Sushil Sharda, Director of Finance, to share the financial highlights with you. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Let me just give you a brief about the financial highlights of Q2 and H1 of financial year 2024. In Q2, we witnessed consolidated revenue of 159 crore rupees, marking an increase of 6.3% year-on-year basis and almost flat on quarter-on-quarter basis. Our EBITDA for the quarter stood at 42 crore rupees, with 33% growth on year-on-year basis. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 26%, recording an impressive growth of 531 basis points compared to the same period of last year, and EBITDA is flat on quarter-on-quarter basis. Net profit for Q2 stood at 24 crore rupees, a remarkable growth of 58% year-on-year basis and a slight growth of 2.5% on quarter-on-quarter basis. For the first half year of this year, our consolidated revenue reached at 318 crore rupees, indicating 12% growth year-on-year basis. EBITDA for the first half is approximately 83 crore rupees, demonstrating an impressive growth of 47% year-on-year basis. EBITDA margins solidly positioned at 26%, with a growth of 614 basis points on year-on-year basis for this first half of the year. Our net profit for the first half of this year accounted for 48 crore rupees, marking a 76% growth year-on-year basis. The PAT margin at 15%, with growth of 548 basis points on year-on-year basis on half-yearly calculations. Now, I would like to invite our Joint Managing Director, Mr. Mayank Mittal, to share some of the operational highlights and strategic insights with you.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm pleased to highlight our operational achievements and the factors behind our Q2 H1 FY24 financial performance. We recorded a remarkable 11% year-on-year increase in sales volume, a testament to, again, our strong market presence and high customer demand. Our EBITDA margin also witnessed a significant improvement, surging from 21% in Q2 FY23 to an impressive 26% in Q2 FY24, a 500 basis point increase. The expansion can be attributed to our strategic efforts in reducing raw material, power and fuel costs. Notably, our power and fuel costs decreased from 10% of sales in Q2 FY23 to 7% in Q2 FY24. The notable enhancement in productivity can be attributed to a combination of key factors. Firstly, an increase in sales realization has emphasized the value and quality of our products. This, coupled with a surge in sales volume, underscores our strong market presence across the globe and the demand of our offerings. Additionally, our steadfast focus on high-value-added products has been a catalyst of our growth. The quarter also saw a reduction in interest-bearing borrowings. Furthermore, the accumulation of a strong credential track record has bolstered our reputation and trust within us in the market. In terms of our capacity, our current utilization stands at around 60%. Our order book position is secure, equivalent to almost 3 to 4 months of operations. We can now open the floor for the question and answer session. Thank you so much.
Shall we open the line for questions?
Yeah, please.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. First question from C.A. Garvit Goyal from Invest Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Congrats for a good set of numbers. My first question is on the order book. So what is the size of the current order book do we have?
So our order book is from 200 to 300 crores, which covers the quarter of our production. So we are always at that sort of a...
I think it is not mentioned this time in the investor presentation. That's
sorry,
why
sorry, it's 150 crores approximately.
It is 150 or 200 to 300?
150 to 200.
So, you are mentioning that we are witnessing a robust demand and all this thing, but since last 2-3 quarters, if you see, the order book is in the range of 150 to 200 CR, and you are saying execution period is somewhere around 3 months. So, what is the reason for not increasing this number for the order book?
See, these are consumer items and nobody would prefer to place order for 6 months or 1 year. So we are also comfortable to take orders approximately 3 months sales. And orders we get daily basis. It's not that we take once in a quarter and supply for the entire quarters. So this is routine and daily basis activities. At the same time, to have the better hedging of the steel and you know other things, it's better to have the shorter period orders instead of 1 year or 6 months orders. We are always comfortable for one quarter orders only.
No, I'm not talking about the period actually. I was talking about the amount of order. Like,
our turnover is around 150 to 160 crores per quarter. So we are comfortable with the same numbers. If we can supply 300 crores turnover in the one quarter, then we'll prefer 300 crore orders in hand. But right now our turnover rate is around 160, 170 crores maximum. So that's why we are comfortable with 150-160 crores orders only.
Okay. And what is our volume guidance on full year basis?
Full year basis will be touching 45,000 tons approximately. First quarters we touch, total 2 quarters around 20,000 tons we produce first quarter and second quarter put together.
Okay. And Act 2 is going to be a...
First quarter was 9,668 and this quarter was 10,498 tons. So total 20,000 tons we produce and sold this quarter, first half. And we are likely to increase to some extent, maybe 10% in the next half year.
Understood, sir. That's all from my side. If I have anything else, then I'll join the queue.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question comes from Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes, hi. So, you just mentioned you have an order book of 150 to 200 crores. Now, are you deliberately like only taking orders up to this amount because you want to be in that range of, in the revenue range of 160, 170 maximum? So is it like the demand is more and you could be getting more order book, but you're not accepting? So is there something like that?
You want to make a supply in next one quarter, that was you prefer to take orders. Unnecessary booking orders and the delay in the supply or, you know, give a wrong commitment. This gives a bad impression in international market and local market. So we don't want to do anything where our credibility is in mistakes.
Okay, so you take orders based on your execution capability, am I right?
Yes. And in future, definitely we increase our order book position the way we are planning to increase our capacity by 10-15% every year. So we'll increase our order size also.
We are debottlenecking our capacities also. That is going to help us to achieve almost 80-85% of our capacity utilization. So as we are adding up that capacity into production, our order book will definitely reflect on that.
But for the next two quarters, we can definitely assume this like this kind of order book to continue along with the revenues you're seeing in each quarter.
Yeah, there will be growth only. There will definitely be growth in these numbers.
So this revenue number will grow for the next two quarters, you're saying?
Actually, we cannot be, you know, just
the just an outlook, yeah, overview, like. Okay. And what about the margins, sir?
If you see last 8-10 quarters numbers, the margins also is we are able to maintain, not maintain, we are improving. Our EBITDA percentage is last year is 24% and this first half is 26%. So margin improving, earlier it was 15%, 13, 15, now 24, then 26. So margin also sustainable and to some extent improvement.
Yes, I've noticed that usually in the second half they've always improved way better. So
yeah, definitely.
Is that pattern likely to continue?
Yes, that is likely to continue. The second half is always better, especially last quarter is excellent in every year. So
right,
we are confident that we'll outperform in the coming half year.
Okay. And just last quickly, any general outlook about FY25? How is market environment going to shape up from current scenario, and then how do you foresee it?
See, we are very confident the way global economy is taking shape and in the war also going in, and this will give the, you know, strong demand of the wire ropes in the coming next 6 months and next 1.5 years time. The Russia war and the recently Israel war will definitely create a huge demand of the wire rope when they start reconstruction of the facilities and infrastructure. So we are very confident that India is such a position that definitely have a lot of mileage as compared to other, you know, peer nations nearby. So, personally, if you ask me that, yes, I am very bullish on this sector in the next at least 2 to 3 years.
And you think you can replicate kind of growth here, so in 2023?
Definitely there's a huge demand expected in not only international market, in domestic market also. The way government is expanding the capacity and increasing the infrastructure budget, and you go even a tier 2, tier 3 cities, everywhere there's a development taking place. And northern eastern side, you must have seen read in the newspaper, lot of bridges and the ropeway is going to construct by the government. So definitely this rope industry is going to boom in the next 2 to 3 years time.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'll get back in queue. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
I request the participants to restrict with 2 questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. Next question comes from Aman Vich from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. My first question is on the debottlenecking part, which you talked about, where our capacity, we can make it 80-85% capacity utilization. So by when will it get completed? And one more question linked to this is, I believe in the next 1-2 years we'll reach that peak capacity utilization. So any plans you have made for further capex, if you can talk about the same.
So debottlenecking is basically a continuous process. So what we think is that it would, in the next 2 years, we should be able to reach at the desired numbers. And regarding post that,
see, after debottlenecking, definitely whatever cash company is going to generate in the operations in the next 2 years time or 3 years time, this is going to utilize for the productive purpose and for the expansion of business. So definitely we are discussing a lot of options for the expansion capacity and for development of new product, other thing. And at appropriate time, we'll give the complete capex plan to the shareholders and the stock option needs. We are definitely looking for the major expansions in the coming futures, but plans yet to finalize, yet to take their complete shape and start execution. Right now, it's all drawing board.
Sure, sir. My second question and the final question is on the demand side. So, if you can talk about in terms of geographies in Europe, which countries are we seeing good demand? Where do we see some slowdown? If you can talk about, because there's a lot of talks about higher interest rate might be impacting the overall demand. So, in your business specifically, what is the situation? Which countries you are seeing good demand and where? Which regions maybe there is some kind of slowdown you are seeing?
So basically, we are right now exporting to almost 50-55 countries, and our target is to almost increase it to 80-85 countries. So our idea is that we want to be a export substitute for the consumers. So again, we started with Europe, then we went to Middle East, then we went to North American market. We will be focusing on the South American market. So our idea is only to now diversify furthermore and increase our market share across the globe.
Second, the demand is going to generate, as I told for 5 minutes back also, that look into geography and the global war situation, the reconstruction in all the countries will definitely require huge road requirements. And the higher interest cost is better for us also. The lot of capacity is getting consolidated in Europe and other countries. And India has a better chance because India is still interest rate is a single digit. The labor cost is, as compared to other European countries, is very, very cheap. We are maybe 50% of the European countries. European is, if somebody is charging $100,000, so here we are paying $15,000. So India is, having a lot of upper edge as compared to Europeans and other countries. So we feel that the demand is going to increase, number one. The capacity going to consolidate in Europe and other countries, number two. And number three, India is a better position in the logistic wise and interest cost wise and government support wise. So we are very, very confident this industry will prosper in the coming future.
Just one clarification. So you mentioned we are now saying across four regions, Europe, Middle East, US and South America also will enter. So for the near to midterm, where in these four regions, where are seeing the maximum growth and where we are seeing some kind of headwinds?
See, we are going to get the good growth from the US market, Mexico, and New Zealand, Australia. In Europe also, we are getting good demand, but if they slow down in Europe, definitely Middle East is going to support us. Europe is, apart from Europe, the US is a big market. Latin America, Mexico, those are the very, very good market and the huge demands. The volume wise, the U.S. is the highest volume in the world, so far wire rope consumption is concerned. So you take entire world one side and U.S. alone one side, that's the demand is there. So we need to penetrate our product in the U.S. market in the deep pockets. Definitely we'll get huge revenue from the U.S. itself.
Yeah, thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Kunal Kothari from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So we have been exporting nearly 85% of our volume in FY23. Is the in current quarter also the mix has remained same, like we are exporting near to 85%, or we have increased or decreased from last year?
There's no decrease volume-wise, increasing percentage-wise, maybe 1 or 2% lower because focus in the local domestic market also we are increasing. So volume-wise, yes, there's an increase in the international market, but percentage-wise, 1 or 2% maybe is lower. So 85% might be 80%. Because last time also, last quarter, we explained that yes, we are focusing domestic market also equally. Till last year, our major focus was export, but this year we are trying to have some presence in the local market, and the local market presence we are increasing the place.
Okay. Secondly, sir, as you mentioned about the debottlenecking, is ongoing in our capacity. So what will be near about cost that we will incur to reach our optimum utilization level?
That will not be much. It will be maximum 25 to 30 crore rupees in the next 2 years' time.
Okay.
And that will be used out of internal accruals only. We have the water in EBITDA and cash generation in the company that will be utilized for the bottlenecking expenditure. So we are not going to leverage the balance sheet at all. That is decided that we will not borrow anything for the routine capital expenditure.
Okay. So lastly, on value-added product mix, as the realization for such products differs from the general engineering products, so can you just gauge me with the sales mix currently we are having? And also, as I see, our blended margin is nearly $475 for the quarter two. So what could it have been for the value-added products, and what it could have had been for the general engineering products?
So basically, again, our product mix, we are focusing on value-added products and the percentages is increasing. So our target is to reach at least 20% of our product mix coming from value-added items. And average realization, again, is going to increase considerably once these all value-added products comes into the production and ultimately sales. So realization is definitely going to improve.
So what will be the difference in realization? And as we I'm saying, our blended margin is at $475 for the quarter two. So what it will have been for the value-added products, the margin, and for the general engineering products?
So the difference would at least be 30% higher than the general engineering items, minimum. A top end of a value-added product can go somewhere around 500-600 rupees a kg also, whereas the general engineering product goes around 140-135. So, you know, it all depends. So, difficult to just put a number on the value-added key, what is the average realization of a particular this value-added product.
Because value-added product also, there are many categories. There is a very thin margin difference between the one category to other category. So it range what Mr. Mayank said, that 142, it can go up to 500 also. So some product go 140, then 160, 180. Like elevator ropes, we are selling around 170, 180 rupees. The plasticated ropes, we are selling more than 250 rupees like this. You know, every product have different type of pricing, depend upon the requirement and depend on the, you know, customer's demand. At the same time, every geography, the price is different mechanism.
Right, sir. And for the margin as well, can we expect like the blended margin currently we are having 475 rupees, sorry, $475 per ton. So for value-added products, could it be more than $600 per ton? And for general...
It is possible, blended, it is possible, but you know, our major portion is not the completely high value product. They are gradually increasing. So entire margin cannot be $600, but definitely this 490 existing margin will increase to some extent based on our production of the high value products.
And if you see the last 9 quarters, our average realization is increasing. So one of the reason is that, you know, we are adding a lot of value-added items in our product basket.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the clarification. Best of the future.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next question comes from Kaushik Mohan from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for the great set of numbers. Then my first and basic question is on what is our market share in the international market, sir, the total world?
So basically, it's very difficult to put a number since we are catering through the distributors globally. And these distributors are multi-brand, dealers. So there is no official numbers or we don't have an idea about the market share since it's almost a close to a $6 to $8 billion market. And of that, I think we are extremely small to put a market share number on that.
Okay. Sir, and the second question, with the current kind of capacity without debottlenecking, what is the optimum revenues that we can reach or like current utilization levels?
See, debottlenecking is a part of the operations. So we cannot.
No, without debottlenecking, what can be our revenues with only existing capacity?
Debottlenecking, if we don't do anything, then we will be extending as it is. 600 crores, 650 crores.
Yes.
See, we, this is, you are just asking that you stop walking. It's impossible. So debottlenecking, we have to do it. That is a process in the operations. So we can't stand as one location. So we can't continue on 600 crores top line only. We have to go higher side.
Got it, got it. No, I just wanted to understand what kind of capacity utilization circuit we are in.
Existing capacity.
Existing capacity, then that is unlikely.
Got it. And sir, my other question is on, how about our inventory days? We have seen from past 10 years data that we have seen a lot of improvements in our inventory. The conversion time is going day by day, it's going down. So how about now? Is it like, can we get it more optimized on this or like it's, this is the peak out there? Currently it's 122.
No, definitely there is going to be optimization as we are improving our production capacity. Our order book will definitely increase. The rotation will be quicker. So you will see continuous improvement there and that is what the management focus is.
Okay. So then that means that we will be getting some operating leverage in our numbers.
Yes, that is that's why the EBITDA and the profits are increasing every quarter. Now we have to work for the stakeholders' interest. So we have to see how we can optimize the top line as well as bottom line. That will give the confidence to the investors, yes, the company is in the right track and sustainability is continuing. Because, you know, initially there was a question that whether this growth can sustain. And last 10 quarters, we have proved that, yes, this can sustain and this can improve further. Not only sustain, it is improving continuously. And we are trying our level best to improve the performance of the companies by optimizing capacity, by reducing the expenses, and increasing the sales volume as well as price.
Okay. Sir, and the last and final question. Sir, if we see our trade receivables is somewhere around 74 crores, which is as equivalent to our profits of both the quarters. So, like, majority of our money is getting stuck up on trade receivables, right? What's our call over here? Like, are we going to reduce this number in coming future?
See, trade receivables are comfortable positions. You know, earlier we never used to give the credit to the people. Now the credit period is slightly increased based on the company's, order book position and the financial position and the credibility of the customers. If customers credible and we are looking the last so many years, check out this payment are coming timely. So we don't mind to extend 10 or 15 days credit, extra credit to them to get the higher realization, to get the higher price.
Got it. Sir, if the person asks me the product right away to deliver today and if I he's paying the money right away, like do we give any discount, spot discounts for the client?
Right now we don't give credit cash discount to anybody. We charge our price to all the customers.
Okay. Thanks.
Last quarter one of the investors asked that why your advance against creditors is, advance against customers received become zero. So earlier we used to take some cash from the customers in advance and give some discount. Now we don't want any, advance from customers. We are comfortable, no normal supply and normal payments.
Got it. Thanks, sir. I'll get back into queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Varun Mehta from WealthLink Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
I just want to have if you can just share the subsidy figure for this quarter.
This quarter subsidy 11 crore 70 lakhs.
Okay, and at the same time in the balance sheet, sir, we see a big jump in the current other current assets from 106 crore to 160 crores. So any reason for
this? What happened that we could negotiate better terms with our steel suppliers Vedanta, and we gave the advance, and we got almost 4,000-5,000 rupees discount as compared to normal market price. So that's why the advance is the very high side. And that material issued this month, where these numbers will go down by 40 crores rupees.
Sir, can you repeat the last line, sorry?
This month number will go down by 40 crores because we purchased some material and given advance to the suppliers, steel suppliers, and we got to 5,000 rupees discount as compared to normal price.
Okay.
So it was a one-time transaction and the material also we received.
So going forward, sir, going forward, we will continue this policy of giving advance to the suppliers.
No?
Okay, right. Thank you. This is what we want, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Vinod Modi from Sharecon. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, my question again pertains to the volume part. I remember you had guided, you know, volume growth sort of, you know, 15%, right? But looking the kind of performance in first half, it essentially reflects that if you need to maintain the same volume growth, 15%, you'll have to be, you know, 17% kind of volume growth in second half. So just wanted to understand, second, 17% sort of volume growth will be achievable for you, or it looks there has to be some cleaning down in the volume growth?
See, volume growth likely to continue this as compared to last quarter. This quarter around 12% volume growth is there. So we are confident 10 to 15% growth will be there current year itself, based on our projections, based on the balancing equipment what we installed recently. So margin also accordingly will change.
Okay, fine. So you are telling me 15% volume growth is still achievable.
Yeah.
Got it. And my last question, sir, if I look at your, you know, cash flow statement, it says that, you know, there has been, you know, repayment of around 64 crore of, you know, long term debt on the net basis. But it reflects only 10 crore sort of, you know, reduction in the balance sheet in the long term loan. So just wanted to understand this it's a large.
Yeah, these are as per the accounting policies. It is linked with the September 2022 to September 2023. It is not 6 months. This is a requirement of the company law that you have to give annual reduction and the long term debt. And the 60 crores is the correct number. And this is September 2022 to September 2023.
Yes. Okay, fine. Thank you. That's all for me.
Thank you. Next question comes from Pritesh Chadha from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
For the 66,000 ton capacity, what is the maximum volume you can do in those 66,000 ton? Can you produce 66?
Yeah, so maximum that we should be able to reach would be somewhere around 5,500 tons, which would be 80 to 85%. So between 5,000 to 5,500 maximum.
Okay, so we can operate at 80 to 85% capacity.
Yes, 80 to 85%.
Okay. Max. Okay, and when you say you will do B bottleneck and spend like 30 crores every year, what kind of capacity do you add on that?
So we are not adding capacity. It would be just to achieve this 80-85%.
Oh, so you need to spend 25-30 crores just to achieve that 80-85%.
Yes. Yes. Because this plant was commissioned in 2015 and 16, since then a lot of market dynamics have changed. So these sort of equipments would be needed to fully utilize the capacity that we have built in Chalisgarh.
Okay. So which means your next round of expansion has to be a greenfield?
So basically, plant that we have just utilized 20 acres out of 64 acres. So it can be a sort of a brownfield expansion where we can expand over the current facility also. But still, we have not decided on that. Everything is on the drawing board. So once we achieve the 80-85% capacity, post that we will, you know, try to do something which will duly inform the investors.
So keeping land aside, it will be a new setup in itself, right?
We can extend. We have capacity. I mean, we have enough land bank infrastructure already ready to add, you know, any further products or capacities. So we'll be using that.
Okay. And just one more question. In the last 6 quarters, we have seen this whole margin change from a 11% number to, let's say, about 25% now. Can you give the proportionate product mix change that you have gone through? Is it product mix change or is it just realization increase because of supply demand changes in the market?
No. What is
so basically, it is a combination of a multiple. It's a combination of multiple factors. So right from capacity utilization, which has increased, the value-added products we have introduced, then better negotiating with the raw material suppliers, credentials that we have built up globally. So combining all these factors have resulted, you know, in the EBITDA growth that you are seeing in the last 6-7 quarters.
How much product mix change you would have gone through in 1 year?
So, in last 1 year?
Obviously, because margin moved from 11 to 25, 26. So, I am talking about the last 6 quarters.
Yeah, right? So we were in single digit in terms of value-added product percentage of our total, order book. And right now, we are in double digits.
So, you mentioned in one of the participants that 20% of your product mix is value-added. So you would have gone from 4-5% to 20%.
Yeah, so 20% is our target to achieve the value of the product mix, the ideal mix. So we have not yet reached 20%. We are in lower, double digits right now.
Okay. So in your response to the margin change, you're mentioning product mix, better RM sourcing, and utilization of capacity to be all the three factors, right?
Yes, and the potential that we have built over the last 5-6 years in the global market.
Sorry? Sir, I missed that last time.
Yeah, the credentials that we have built over the last 5-6 years in the global market, so that has again helped us to improve our realizations. So like a new entrant in the global scene versus a person who is 5 years, you know, old, with wherein people have seen the performance of the ropes, there's word of mouth publicity, so that has helped us to improve our average realization also.
So that pulls up the overall average realization because of the credentials.
Yes, yes. So combining all these factors, these are the major drivers for better realization.
And just one last thing, in the product mix, which is your value added and non-value added, and you gave a whole range of realization differential, but if one has to, you know, narrow down and put some method in it, what is the differential gross margin on the value-added product? Or what is the differential realization?
Very fine difference between one product to other product. We are manufacturing more than 10,000 type of products. So it is a very thin, you know, difference between X to Y, Y to Z, Z to Z. So absolute numbers from 130 rupees, it can go up to 400 rupees also. But not exactly 400.
I registered that, but there will always be, so when you give 15% or less than 20% product mix drop,
average 30-40% is a, we get higher realization in case of validated products, normally. And some cases it can be 100%, but average you get 30-40%, we get higher realization on the validated product.
Higher realization.
But, actual number, differential between the, generating purpose and other purpose, it is very difficult. Because there are more than
20,000
SKUs are there.
And this 20% ambitious number which you gave is the volume number or it's the share of the revenue?
Volume numbers.
Okay. So basically, even today, if it is a double-digit number, let's say for assume it is 15%, the share in the revenue will be much higher, right?
Yeah, that's why the EBITDA, if you see 21-22, it was 15%. Last year it was 24%, now it's 26%. So gradually this value products is giving the higher EBITDA to us. So that is reflected in the operations of the company.
But I understand that. Just that the share in the revenue will be something like 35-40% of the revenue will be now value added. If it is 15% of volume.
Yeah. This will reflect in the top line percentage wise as compared to production. Production might increase by 10%, then the value total top line can increase by 15-20%. And last year, if you see, this reflect very categorically around 12-30% of the production growth and 30% is the volume growth. Volume growth because of higher realization you're getting. That is mainly because of the higher, you know, value product.
Okay, sir, I will come back in the queue. Actually, my question has been went through, but I'll come back.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you, sir. We have a follow-up question from C.A. Garvit Goyal from Invest Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, just want a clarification on the guidance side. Basically, when I asked this, you mentioned 40,000 MT is achievable for FY24, right? But I think to one of the participants you mentioned, we'll do 15% kind of volume growth in FY24. So can you please clarify again on the volume growth guidance?
See, last year we did 35,000 tons, and this year likely to be 15-20% growth. So that's why 42 to 45,000 tons is possible this year.
But I think in your presentation last year for FY23, it was mentioned you did 38,536 in volume.
39,672, I think. 40,000. Last year.
Yes, 38,500. So if we apply 15%, then it should be somewhere around 42 to 43,000. Right?
Yeah, currently it is 45,000 tons. And out of 45,000 tons, the first two quarters, we already have 20,000 tons.
Right, so that means H2 should be a bigger one, substantially bigger one as compared to H2, right?
Correct.
Understood. And sir, means if you are talking about the robust demand for wire rope in Europe, US and Mexico, and plus you also talked about the reconstruction going to happen due to wars happening across the globe. So I just want to understand, so if I combine two things, that is, one is the demand in the industry and second is the capability of Bharat Wire. So what is stopping us to have 25-30% Y-on-Y growth in top line going ahead for next 3 years? Why we are restricting us to INR 150 to 160 CR kind of orders per quarter, which means 650 to 700 CR kind of annual run rate?
If you see last 3 years data, 2 years continuously CAGR was 40% plus. But there has to be some limitation on capacity utilization. So we already have around 60-65% utilization there, and as explained to Mr. Mayankar, that 80-85% is optimum, we can go ahead. So let us just first achieve 80-85%, then we can think for the expansion and go for another 25-30%, you know, growth every year. But immediately 25-30% growth in the current year is unlikely based on existing capacity. We need to build up the additional range completely.
And by when can we expect this debottlenecking thing done?
Yeah, target is that within next 2 years, yeah, we should be able to reach the optimum capacity.
Yeah. 24-25, we'll be able to complete the existing bottleneck.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Jatin from Southern Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So just wanted to understand the future roadmap, because in the previous participant's answer, you said that next year we'll be reaching the 80-85% after doing a debottlenecking. So if I want to look from a 28 or to FY30 perspective, what are the growth drivers or the capacity expansion the board is thinking to take the overall installed capacity from 72,000.
The further expansion on the drawing board, as we explained, is not finalized. once finalized, definitely we'll approve the board also and inform all the investors also. These are all discussion and options we are evaluating that to what type of expansion we can go at, what is capex and what is the time should do. So this is just on the drawing board and evaluation point of view. It's not approved by the board till date. Except the normal capital expenditure, maybe 25-30 crores in the next 2 years we'll have the competency equipments. That will also give sufficient leverage to increase our top line and the bottom line.
But I totally agree that if you're able to reach 80-85% in FY25, then probably the board would have seen some amount of the indication for the future growth drivers for FY26-27. Otherwise, for FY26, we will hardly see any volume growth for another couple of years.
You know, expansion will not take 3 years or 4 years time. Once board approved, then definitely within 6 months to 1 year time, we can implement. As we explained that we have the land bank available, out of 64 acre land, 20 acre land is utilized. So we have land, we have the infrastructure availability. So placing the orders for the machinery and for the utilities won't take much time. So once the board approved, then definitely we'll come back to the investors community that yes, this is the confirmed plan. Right now all are at discussion level and the various options, positive, negative things you would consider, goals, scenarios, all these things you would consider. At the same time, financing also we have to see. First, let us repay the banking loan, whatever make it possible, and not leverage the balance sheet to the great extent. So there are a lot of issues before we officially announce here these are the expansion plans.
The next question. Now we have substantially seen a sharp improvement in our EBITDA margin in last 6 quarters. So we are currently at 26% margin. So is there any one-off subsidy income in the last quarter EBITDA, or it's purely an operational number that we are seeing at this level?
If you see the EBITDA is 40 crores rupees and out of that 11 crores rupees subsidy. So 30 crores is EBITDA without subsidy also. So subsidy not only factors, subsidy only 25-30% EBITDA, but 70-80% is from the operations. So subsidy or no subsidy, but company's performance is improving, that you can see based on the last 19 quarters, and it's reflected in the numbers also.
And last question from my side, which is more on the strategic perspective. Now, if you look, the special strands which are used in the shipping industries are the high margin products. So what is the contribution that is coming to us from the shipping industries, and can you highlight the outlook going forward from the same?
See, shipping industries, first of all, let me tell you, we are the very few companies globally which have the Lloyd registration, which is a prime requirement to supply the shipping industries ropes. And in India, like we have the exclusive rail contract with the Shipping Corporation of India for so many years, and that is continuing. Third, we are also exporting to global markets for whatever we require shipping, but not directly, we are recruiting to the dealers network. So we are quite confident that shipping also definitely will get the benefits in the coming years.
Sure, sir. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Vivek from DGS Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, Mr. Vivek, tell me.
Hello.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you're on.
Yeah. Sir, why the top line growth has been on the lower side, sir? And is the export recession is impacting us also, the Ukraine war and the recession in the Western world, sir?
It's not lower side, it is a maintenance, in fact, slightly improved as compared to 158 crores, it's 159 crores. And if you compare with last year's, Q2 was 149 crores, this time 159 crores. So there is no reduction, it is a stable or improvement as compared to last year. And normally,
6%, sir.
Because of rainy season, I think the demand is slightly lower side. But third quarter, fourth quarter will be excellent, as last year also it was excellent.
Okay. And sir, any success we are getting in the Indian business, sir? Indian infrastructure is supposed to be increasing the opportunity size a lot, sir.
Yes, we are getting traction in the domestic market, and we are actively now focusing on increasing our presence in India. So definitely there is a lot of traction going on, and that would be reflected in our order book also.
So what is the pipeline which we are participating in India, sir, approximately in terms of tender value? Let the certification be decided at a later date.
I don't have a number with me right now, but yes, definitely it's going to improve quite significantly compared to the last quarters or last years.
And of course, in the tender being finalized in the second half, so half, second half much should be much better than the first half for the Indian part of our business, sir.
Tender, we are getting regular routine business, and tender, many tenders we are L1, and definitely we are getting tenders regularly from Coal India, from the, you know, shipping corporation. A lot of the business from the government tenders we are getting regularly.
Tender is something wherein, you know, till you don't get it, you don't know what is the success rate, but yes, we are participating.
But being L1 is a very good sign, sir. Being L1 is a very good sign. Government business.
Many tenders we are L1 and we are participating and we are getting orders. Even after L1 also it takes own time. Sometimes 2 months, 3 months time because, you know, they are on LSS systems to buy their orders. But we are comfortable the way we are participating and we are getting response from their domestic tender business. We are comfortable and we are getting good price and good support.
And the exports getting impacted in any way due to this recession slowdown in West, sir, and Europe especially, and how is the performance in United States, sir?
I don't think the recession, we are getting the regular orders and we are supplying. So we don't feel any recession so far this particular industry is concerned. Recession might be another industry. These are consumer industries, almost 60-65% is ropes are being used for consumption.
Or replacement
market. Replacement market. So, replacement market, whether recession or recession, you will replace. If your elevator rope is, to be replaced, then you can't wait for the recession to be over. You have to replace immediately. So, majority, 60-65% is a replacement market. So, we don't feel any recession in this segment from Europe or the country. Slight impact can compensate the other geography. If suppose slight impact in the Europe, it can compensate Europe. Slight impact in the Asian countries, it can give, compensation to Europe. So geographically, since we are exporting more than 52 countries, so we are compensated by one country to other countries in case of any local issues arise in that country.
Very good, sir. And sir, basically, that overhang of that equity conversion preferential share to the banks and also is also coming to an end, sir. And that was an overhang for us, and we had gone through some very bad times, sir. But now things are better and.
As per the agreement, it has to be converted after 2034 to 2042. So equity cannot be converted by the banks, whatever CCPs they are holding, so they cannot convert. So 2034 to 2042, that is a time only every year 15% they will convert.
Okay, okay. So that timeline only we are sort of sticking to, sir.
Yeah, this is written in black and white in the agreement itself that 13.5 years to 20-year time. So this is still another 7-8 years is pending, more than 10 years.
Okay. And any key learning from our from the experience in the past, which makes our company more sturdy and robust. Basically the key learning from the sort of we have been through a sort of a horrid time earlier. Sir.
Please repeat your question.
Pardon? Pardon, sir, as you know, sir, after the IPO, company went through a bad patch, and so how are we taking, what steps are we taking care so that experience is not repeated, and how to go about in future, sir, that is the thing I'm trying to ask.
Your debt portfolio is reduced now, our outstanding loan, the term loan is hardly 15-20 crores, which used to be almost 500 crores plus. So now we are very comfortable with the leverage point of view. Interest cost, we used to be adding 80-85 crores a year, now is around 20-25 crores. So I don't think that situation will repeat again. At the same time, we are quite careful and cautious for the leveraging balance sheet. So that situation past is gone. We don't recollect what were the issues, but now future we are looking at future and how to create wealth for the investors and the other stakeholders. That's your main motto. And we have to protect the interest of you.
Yeah, sir, it's really congratulations from our side also, small shareholders also, that you have taken the male leadership shown in that critical time and future is looking good, sir, and it's all to your hard work. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. We are there and investors are with us. So investors also, you know, 4,000 become now almost 25,000 shareholders in the company. So confidence we have built up and we will see that how the management is working for the best interest of the investors.
Yes, sir. Keep up the good work, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The last question for the day comes from Aman Vish from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Sir, you have talked about geographies like US, Mexico, Australia, and Middle East. These are the regions which are showing good growth. If you can talk about in terms of volumes, what are the volumes we are doing in these regions currently and in the next 3 years, where do you see the volumes in terms of tonnage in these three, four geographies?
We are almost evenly balanced in terms of the volume percentages. So like 20% would be Middle East, 20%, 30% would be Europe. Balance would be the American market, both North and South American market. So we are evenly distributed. There is no particular exposure, which is a big exposure to any particular geography.
Yes, my question was also linked to the fact that Europe is not growing and these markets are growing. So in the next 3 years, do you think these geographies can become, which geographies can become much higher? I was trying to understand that.
Again, the new geographies that we are adding, like the South American market, the North American market, these were not a big part of our order book. But as we are developing our credentials there, as we are entering new market, these geographies will definitely use to our order book.
So sorry, you said US is already 20-30%.
Yeah, it is reaching up to 20%.
Around 20%. We are close to 20%.
Yeah.
Okay. And can this surpass Europe in terms of volumes we supply in the next 2-3 years?
Well, US is the biggest consumer of wire ropes. So we are expecting good growth from the American markets.
Sure, sir. My final question is on the realization part. So our general engineering you talked about is like 150 rupees realization. But at the same time, you talked about some of the products are like 500, 600 rupees. So elevator ropes you explained, plasticated ropes you explained, but which are these products which have like 400, 500, 600 rupees kind of realization?
So there are a specific category which is stainless steel wire ropes. Now these are very high value added items since even the raw material is extremely expensive. So along with that, there's some value addition in terms of the processes of making a wire rope. So these are extremely high value added items, but again, if you talk about percentages in the overall order book, these wouldn't constitute more than 1-2% for now.
Okay. And like we are talking about increasing market share in geographies like US and Australia and Middle East, so are these products linked to elevator ropes and all those things, or is it mostly general engineering products we are talking about?
The combination, this is the entire basket, basically, right from elevators to general engineering to some special ropes also. Because most of these distributors cater to a wide range of OEMs. So, yeah, I cannot particularly put it key, it's only GP ropes or general engineering ropes or value-added items or just elevators, the entire basket.
And which region do we sell these stainless steel wire ropes, which you are talking the most expensive ones?
So these goes in yachting and general engineering, where you know corrosion is a big factor.
This is for India or outside India, these ropes?
No, Middle East.
Middle East?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure, sir. These are the questions from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, I hand over the floor to management for closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in this afternoon conference call. We hope we are able to answer all the questions satisfactorily. And if anyone have any further questions and would like to know more about company, please reach out to our PR agencies, Boardroom Advisors. Thank you. Good day.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Dur Sabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.